Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck, Thomas off the wall, shoots, and it's in!
Let's
they
go.
Score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon! Bring out the Zamboni! Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he saved them to the conference finals!
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
Casey Trout is the store manager out here today. We are at the Schnucks in Warrenton, and we understand the food here is going to be unbelievable. The brats, the donuts, the hamburgers, they make it all fresh here, Martin.
Frank is such a good teammate. He did say to young Casey, if you'd like, bring out a sample or two, and we'll talk about it. And then Brian Hoffman, observing, said, very subtle, guys. Very subtle.
He didn't even try to hint. He just basically said, the sooner the better.
Well, there is a move. I usually say...
Well, yeah, but Martin kind of blamed it on me. So yeah. Frank's a big eater.
I usually say, Frank doesn't look like it, but he's a big eater, which is true. Is that not the truth?
No, it's true. It is accurate.
But then I was telling you guys, the move is always to blame someone else. Jim Hayes wanted a quote about Carpenter hitting leadoff the other day. He said, I'm tired of asking Schilt about it. Why don't you do it? And I said, no problem. I'll say, hey, Mike, Jim was wanting to know why Carpenter's hitting leadoff.
Nice. Let's face it, the greatest radio advertiser, the greatest radio talk show host in the history
Jack
of St. Louis.
Jack Harney.
Very good. And the reason he was so good at his restaurant plugs is because he actually sampled the food.
Yeah, so we're just trying to only help you as much as you help us.
Yeah.
But this is the Schnucks in Warrenton. It opened in November, their first location in Warrenton. Great stop off if you're going to the Lake of the Ozarks, going to a Mizzou tailgate. Get off Highway 70, Veterans Memorial Parkway, right off the highway, the Warrenton exit. Beautiful location here, opened in November, and a lot of great deals going on. $3 off strawberries. They have a 3-day sale going on. All of the meat prepared, as we know, those great brats that they serve at Cardinal games. Come on by and say hello. Cam's going to be here in the noon hour, and I'm going to hang with Cam for a little bit. I don't know if I've done radio with Cam in a couple of years. Does he still sweat all the time?
Oh, yeah.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
The guy used to beat people up for a living, gets nervous talking into a microphone.
One time we finished a show, and I shook his hand, and I promise you, Jordan Binnington did not perspire as much as Cam. Now, how about this idea? I'm going to break this on TV right now. I haven't even discussed it with Cam. But there's going to be a little stretch as we get a little shorter in our department temporarily that there may be a couple of days where Ahmad will not be there and I will not be there. So we are going to ask Cam Jansen to possibly be a sports anchor one night. Andy Moeller producing everything.
Oh, I like that. We used to do more of that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Back in the day, have guys, you know, we had Marshall do it for a couple of nights. And the producers
Kurt did
it
once,
together.
I think. Once or twice. Now, the guy who made it famous was Dan Dierdorf, who apparently, according to one real good friend of mine from Channel 4, I don't know if he did the 6, but he would pull up at about 10:10 right outside Channel 4, and sweet Lou Tevlin would give him the scripts. He'd do the show. And it wasn't even a – he was a limo down there. It was an Alan Cohen deal with Dan Dierdorf where he was limousine down there, do the sports and get out.
Boy, the business has changed.
Yeah.
This weekend, if you said I could have Craig Berube on set and you told your boss I need an Uber to pick him up, they'd say no chance.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Dan would be the first to tell you how little work he put in. He would be honest about it. Len Dawson was famous in Kansas City for years. And they said he would be there like 10 minutes before the show, leave as soon as they'd be back at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think Trent Green almost took a gig similar in recent years. They were going to have him be kind of the new Len Dawson for that market. But I think the network money maybe is a little too good to
pass up. He doesn't need to be in a sports office for 11 hours a day to do 4 3-minute sports.
Colin Lee, Summit West, volleyball highlights.
Oh, my goodness. All right, got a good one today. Rick Hummel, the Hall of Famer, is going to join us at 10:30, brought to you by Lakeside Roofing. Tom Hart is going to join us at 11:30. He's one of the best in the business, too. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. A reminder, the Bomarito 500 coming up very shortly in August. It's one of the great races, one of the better sporting events we have in St. Louis every year. All right, we begin with lap one. Martin, I think the most intriguing Cardinal has all of a sudden become this gentleman by the name of Tyler O'Neill. About a month ago, the perception was, well, he's striking out too much in Memphis. He's probably just one of those 4A players, you know, a guy that maybe has some success in the minor leagues but just can't make the transition. Then he comes here, doesn't do much, and you're thinking, well, I hope he can be a part of a package trade. Hope somebody will see something in him so we can move him. And now he's your cleanup hitter, one of the keys to the season, and quite possibly your everyday outfielder for years to come. This may be a stretch, I mean, after just a great week, but sports evolve quickly. And as we wake up this morning, just like the way the ball is coming off his bat.
And O'Neill hits it a ton out to left. Homer. Home run, Tyler O'Neill.
I'm just trying to see the ball, you know, and just keep things simple. Just hit it where it's pitched, and, you know, just good things are going to happen off that.
Four homers, five games, 11 RBIs. And in the postgame, it's almost like he doesn't want to jinx himself by elaborating. He just wants to hit a baseball.
I mean, we've been saying there's nobody in the system that they can call up. Yet this guy, we all forgot about him, right? 2 months in the minor leagues after flashing in the past. I don't think anybody said, well, if you bring up O'Neill, maybe he'll give you a spark. He's clearly given him a spark. Will it continue? I don't know. But 10 for 20, four homers, 11 RBIs over five games. Not to dig too deep off in numbers, and I'm not expecting to do so. How often this year have we had somebody in a five-game stretch go 10 for 20 with four home runs? I'm going to guess probably not.
Ozuna may have been had a little
close
stretch.
To
it
that.
Was close. And actually, Goldschmidt had that one opening weekend, which wasn't bad, but you're right.
I think he had three in one game. Did he had three against the Brewers that opening weekend. But
how about this? When spring training broke, Harrison Bader is the future. Now things have taken a turn in July.
You mentioned O'Neill, 11 RBIs in this five-game stretch. Paul Goldschmidt, in the months of May and June, had 12.
Combined?
Yeah.
Wow.
12 RBIs,
12 RBIs
in the months
of May and
plural,
June.
Plural, May and June. And O'Neill's had 11 since they teed it up on Saturday. Now, I don't know if it'll last, but you're desperate for offense.
Yep.
The surprising thing about him being as big and muscular, he's relatively fast. And he's a really good athlete. He can play center field.
Fine fielder.
When you look at him, you'd say, oh, yeah, this is a guy who probably can't run real well, probably not a great defense, just a slugger. But he's clearly got some athleticism.
Lap two. Speaking of things taking a turn, we mentioned Paul Goldschmidt. He's starting to heat up. There's no doubt about it. Yesterday, he did it again.
Three pitches.
Goldschmidt, a drive into deep left.
Of course, I'd like to be playing better, and you know, I think I've shown I got that potential, but you know, I can't change the past. So my focus is just on taking it day by day, try to show up and help us win. I mean, it's not about me. Of course, I'd like to play well, but I want to play well so that you know we can win and try to get in the playoffs and do something special. And you know, like I said, can't change the past. Just try to play well going forward and help us win.
First three-run homer since the second day of the regular season. Acquired on December 5th to have moments like that on July 17th. He mentioned yesterday that part of the reason for his success, or this little bit of an uptick, is he's choking up a little bit with the bat with two strikes. Maybe it's just that, or maybe it's just time for one of the best hitters of his generation to take off, just kind of even things out. What do you think, Martin?
That first three-run home run stat since the first week of the season, is that an indictment on him or the fact that nobody's on base when he comes up to the probably a little bit of both. I love the fact he said he was swinging for a single. At that point,
yeah,
absolutely crushed the ball. And it wasn't just that he got a home run, because he's had a few lately. He's got decent home run numbers. He's on pace for 31.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that it was a clutch moment, and we talk a little bit about psyche here, and I think Andy Van Slyke said the other day it's almost all mental when guys aren't hitting. I think for a Goldschmidt who's probably taking it a little hard this year, you would think, with the big money, the contract first year, it's hard to come in and not feel that kind of pressure. To hit a big home run that actually shifted the game probably means more than hitting two that didn't matter.
He spent a lot of time yesterday in the postgame, too, talking about Tyler O'Neill. And this is the best stretch out of the three and four hitters the Cardinals have had maybe all season. I think it's 17 RBIs in the last six games for the duo. I love how humble Goldschmidt is gushing about Tyler, you know, after the game.
And he is a very professional guy. For those who, I mean, you've heard about it, but if you're around him, extremely polite. In fact, Hayes said on the road, I want to help him and cut off his media act because he'll just talk to anybody all day. Takes the job real serious, so I'm happy to see him have some success. And he had over the weekend, I know he didn't have big numbers. I think it was 2-for-11 against Arizona. But there were a lot of balls, one that he was robbed, a couple of foul balls that were deep. So it does seem like, I know Van Slyke would accuse us of throwing the parade too early, but it seems like he's close to getting locked in.
All right, lap three. Andrew Kisner is going to replace Yadier Molina one day, I believe. You can't have his minor league resume, and if you haven't looked at it, you should, because it is legit. He's the reason you could trade Carson Kelly, who has been terrific in Arizona. Well, he was 0-for-10 in the big leagues, and then it happened.
He does. Line in the left center for his first major league hit. Kisner digging for second. Congratulations, Andrew Kisner, first major league hit. Many more to come.
Sort of a relief, I guess. Thought it was a pretty good swing. Archer's, I think he's a pretty good pitcher. It's a good guy to get your first hit off of. It was awesome. I don't have the ball. I don't even know where it's at. So I hope somebody saved it. Oh, it's going straight to my mom. I know she'll take that and put that right on the mantle.
Okay, incredible kid, and he's a really nice talker. Martin, what is it?
A little swagger, right?
Yeah, he does. And when you hit like he has, why not? What is it about that spot that brings out the best sound bites? Backup Cardinal catchers, or Cardinal catchers, period. Gary Bennett, Francisco Pena, Carson Kelly, A.J. Przinski, Ted Simmons. They all talk.
Was Gerald Laird the guy who talked all the time but didn't play a lot? Or then there was another guy.
Well, he was a nice guy, Gerald Laird.
Oh,
yeah.
Super nice guy. In fact, the big brawl with the Reds, it was the Reds closer after the game who was like, Gerald Laird, what's he popping off? Who's
yeah.
he? Remember, he just kept saying the name Gerald Laird over and over. But they do typically have good talking backup catchers, which is great because Yadi doesn't hold a lot of press conferences. So you get the backup to talk.
That's a good point. All right. Lap four. The British Open is going on as we speak. And, Brian, as we speak, if you can give me the Tiger update who just teed off.
That was an ESPN ad on the Open leaderboard. That's
I did see the Rory McIlroy. I didn't see it, but I read about his
quadruple.
Opening.
Yeah.
How about that? The favorite to win, Ooh. Playing in Northern Ireland, gets an 8 on the first hole.
Eldrick even through 3.
Okay, that's not bad. When I was watching, I saw the most interesting thing happen is – Graham McDowell hit one in the rough, and it's not like the rough at Creve Coeur. It's a rough, and it's deeper. It's like the deepest thing I've ever seen. Two dozen people had 3 minutes to find the ball. They just changed the rule from 5 minutes to 3 minutes, and they didn't. And they found it like about 30 seconds after the deadline, and then Graham just, you know, drop-kicked his bag. He was so ticked off, but it's going to be brutal. In my mind, though, I can't go against Brooks Koepka, who has 4 majors in 2 years, and I think he's at 2 under par as we speak. Shane Lowry is the leader at -4. Tiger scares me a little bit because it's a 4-week layoff. And as Martin mentioned, Rory McIlroy, as a 16-year-old at Port Rush, he shot a 61, which is still the course record, and he opens up today with a quadruple bogey. Who do you like there?
I think McIlroy, anytime you're the prohibitive favorite, you take him off the board. Tiger admitted that the Masters sort of took a lot out of him. It's probably going to be somebody random. You know, although you could go Britt, you could go a Justin Rose or somebody like that. I don't know that I have a favorite. I do think every time I watch the British, of the majors, you know, it's probably my third favorite. And God bless the PGA being here last year. But typically, I'm into the Masters. I'm into the U.S. Open. The British, just because of the layout, it's on my bucket list to go to a British Open, Scotland or Ireland, I don't care.
You can go with Brian and go to the pubs. Yeah. Well, you've been there,
wouldn't you like?
Let's go.
I've been to Ireland, but wouldn't you like to go to the British Open?
Sure.
Even if you're not a huge golf fan, just to kind of the spectacle and the layout every year. I mean, there's a million sporting events. Hey, if you've never been to a Final Four, yeah, that'd be great. But the fact that you get to travel over there, I would put the British Open pretty high on my list.
Casey just dropped by. This is your homemade Schnucks soda, right? How about that?
Dr. Lou is in the house. I wish we had this back in the day when Lou would call in. We could have called him Dr. Lou.
Orange soda, root beer. How can you go wrong with a root beer? I can't wait to try that one. All right, lap five. So Ernie Brilio passes away at age 83. Best trade in St. Louis history. Went 4-7 after the deal in Chicago. Brock hit 348. Cardinals won a world championship. Overall, 7-19 for the Cubs, 70-55 with the Cardinals. So that leads us to this thought today. If this is the best trade, and we're going to come up with the top five, would it be Brett Hull 2, Jim Edmonds 3, Marshall Faulk 4, and then Ryan O'Reilly creeping in ahead of Mark McGwire since you won a Stanley Cup and you didn't win with McGwire? Are we leaving somebody out of the top five trades of all time? Or is Edmonds a little high? You'd put Faulk ahead of Edmonds.
I think Faulk, and now Edmonds won a World Series. Faulk won a Super Bowl. O'Reilly won a Cup. So those three, I think, belong up there because anytime you win a championship and a guy is an integral piece, they've got to be up there. God, even Walt alone had some great deals where they fleeced people. Got great. I mean, Renteria was a great trade. All time, the Blues fans will remind you of some of the bad ones they made. Jimmy Wright, especially,
yes.
Some of the deadline deals.
But we leaving anybody out the top
I'm
five.
I'm asking, I forget, did they not make a trade to get up to get Orlando Pace?
They did trade, you're right, to get the,
Jets,
overall pick.
Would that be
And that's
considered?
A Hall of Fame player. That's an interesting thought.
Would Rowland factor into that at all?
Scott Rowland and the Placido Polanco.
Bud Smith.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
Mike
I mean,
Timlin. Yeah, that
Rowland.
Was pretty good.
But I think Faulk, Edmonds, O'Reilly, Brett Hull and the Brock deal. And I've always felt bad for Ernie Brolio. And if you look it up, 21-game winner, 18-game winner. He just went to the Cubs. It wasn't very good.
Your whole life,
you always hear your name, and nobody says Ernie Brolio. They just say Brock for Brolio.
Yeah, that's true.
And Brock at the time was an outfielder who tried to hit home runs and struck out too much and had not found himself. That was Bing Devine's greatest move.
Yeah, I think Brock for Brolio, and because Lou won several titles –
And would the worst trade be Steve Carlton, Rick Wise?
Yeah, I would think so. You gave away a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Jerry Rice is up there.
How far away would the Sykes for McGee trade be out of that? I know it's not top five, but that's pretty close.
Yeah, that's got to be like a top ten.
Yeah, it's definitely top ten.
Because you got one of the most popular players in franchise history. He won a World Series. Just absolutely beloved, and you gave up. No offense to Bob Sykes, gave up nothing.
Right.
My good friend just texted that as you were saying that. That's
okay.
Good stuff. Great minds think alike. All right. Lap six. Stream of consciousness. Isn't it crazy that Yu Darvish won his first game at Wrigley Field after a season and a half? $126 million contract, and it takes you this long to get your first victory. Now, granted, he was hurt, but still, that's crazy.
You know the Cubs have a lot of money. When they win a game, in the poll question online, one of their beat reporters said, Who's giving them the most for their deal? And it was like Hayward at close to $200 million, Lester at $150 million, Darvish at $120 million. I mean, they have so much money thrown at players. Now, Lester's been a really good player for a long time. But it's amazing how they can have a guy like Darvish. We said this yesterday in pro sports. We can just waste money. Nobody cares. Darvish had been a bust. But if he gets going, that could change their rotation. And your first win at Wrigley – nearly not quite 2 years into a deal. That's unbelievable.
All right, so we're going to ask this question, I think, every day to the end of the season. Your Cardinals opening day starter for the postseason. It's now changed because we were leaning towards Ponce yesterday.
Ooh,
Is it tonight's Is it tonight's starter Dakota Hudson, or are we going to jinx him by?
I guess you'd have to not be caught in the theater of the moment if Flaherty's good for a couple, and just say who has been somebody you can trust for the most part every start. It would probably be Dakota Hudson. If you had to win one game tomorrow, one game playing, or a wild card, I think it would be Hudson just because you trust him not to blank the bet. Would you go with Hudson?
I think I would. Although it's subject to change as if Michaelis has got this thing straightened out or Yeah.
That's the
close.
Crazy thing. The rotation.
Or Jack. Gosh.
You know, Wainwright has a 2.48 ERA since the month of June.
Since the beginning of June.
Beginning of June, 2.48 earned run average.
Yeah, you can't rule him out.
No.
Especially, he's really good at home, historically.
Well, if it's game one of a postseason series, Martin, likely not happening in St. Louis.
Well.
Barring a phenomenal last 2.5 months.
You might get the wild
Dodgers.
Card game.
I don't think they're catching the Dodgers or the Braves at this pace.
Maybe a play-in, maybe second wild card play-in will be at home. You may need a lot of these.
Game 163.
You may need a lot of these if you have to win one game scenarios for the play-in, for the second wild card, then the wild card.
It's a bullpen day, maybe?
Can't rule it out. This is the longest, by the way. This is record-setting.
Yeah.
A little bit of housekeeping. Frank, by the way, Cam Jansen, to your idea of him doing sports, said, love it, I'm in.
All right.
So I believe
we're
you just
cut the deal.
Oh, he texted you?
He texted Frank and I and said, I love it, I'm in. So it sounds like Cam Jansen, in fact, may be doing sports on Channel 5. I won't be able to watch, of course, on those nights. But the other bit of housekeeping is that Frank has set a new record. It used to be the Chuck Marlowe speed record for how quickly walking into the remote, eating food. This is the longest Frank has gone without taking a break.
The timing was rough. It was the opening monologue. Any other thing, I would have cut it short.
If
we're interviewing Sylvester Stallone. No,
we got to go. Patricia Heaton's online, too. I'm sorry, Ms. Heaton. We need to take a break.
I am not proud about anything I've passed on to my kids except the love of foods. I got a text last night from Alex, who's as much of a foodie as I am. He said, Dad, I did go to Beast in Tower Grove. And you're right, the pork steak is just insane. If you get a chance, it's one of the great barbecue places in town, and now they've come across this side of the river.
And the pork steak's in a bit of a renaissance, isn't it? Where
yes.
We all had it as kids, and it kind of faded away, and now with all the barbecue places, they're bringing it back. It really is, and if you do it right, that's a great piece of meat. You know who always features pork steaks on the grill is Eric Schmidt, the Smetone, the Attorney General. Anytime he's cooking, he says, doing it St. Louis way, he's always got pork steaks on the grill.
All right, let's take a short time out before we go to break. Quick word about Maryville University. Go to maryville.edu for more information. They sponsor our phone lines. It's a lovely campus in town and country. And the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, look no further than 170 in Del Mar. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. The Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. We'll take a break. The Hall of Famer Rick Hummel next.